Today we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 31, if you want to turn there. Proverbs 31. I gave you the handouts. It's just a help, you know, to go ahead and go through all these verses and walk away and try to remember maybe just one principle, one word to help you kind of just get the whole verse together. That's all I'm doing with the handouts, is so you can write something down, take it home. You know, we've been looking at faithfulness now, standing fast in our faithfulness, and there's a great need in Christianity today for faithfulness, for virtue, you know. And we looked at Paul last week and how God used a man that was faithful. So just imagine what God could do in our families and our churches and our towns if we could be as faithful as Paul. We think about Christians being faithful to God's call and what God could do and accomplish through us just being faithful to God. Think how many lives could be affected and how many homes could be turned around if we were just faithful to the Lord. And people saved, you know. Think about what He did for you. Think about what He did for you. You know, you may be here this morning and you have a head knowledge about the Lord. You're leading a good life. You're doing all the right things. You're in church. You just feel real good about the idea that, you know, maybe even read your Bible and you say, "Oh, I know the Lord." Well, I hope you do, but the biggest thing is that He knows you. You know, He said, He told some that, "Depart from me, I never knew you." I just want you to know the Lord, but the Lord has to know you. You have to look back to a time when you got saved, when you remember you were born again. You're not just doing good works. You're not trusting in your church attendance. You're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you remember the day that you were born again. Well, we don't have that much time until the Lord returns. Either way, whether we go by death or by rapture, either way, we don't have that many years to go. Our life is but a vapor, appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So we want to be faithful. And I want to cover these three areas of importance, I think, is very important. And that's the faithful woman, and next week the faithful man, and then the faithful church. Before the pastor returns, we can learn about being a faithful church. And if we could just get right with God, imagine what God could do in our midst. I want you to pay attention, not only the ladies, but the men need to pay attention to this. You say, why? Because it's the Word of God, that's why. We're reading from the Bible. We're learning what the Bible says. And not everything may be to us, but it's all for us, you see. So, ladies, today's your day. Amen? And don't get overwhelmed by the Proverbs 31 woman. But strive to be what God wants you to be. First and foremost, we're talking about being faithful. Just be faithful. So we're going to look at the Scriptures and see what the Lord desires of what we will call the faithful woman. The Bible speaks of a virtuous woman. Let me just go ahead and read these couple of verses. I'm not going to read all of it. Proverbs chapter 31 and in verse 10. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens." Let's just stop there. Father, thank you, Lord, for the verses we're going to look at today. And Father, that's just a glimpse of what it means to be a woman of virtue, a faithful woman, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you'd speak to hearts today. I pray, Father, that at least the ladies today would take a great interest in what they're about to hear. This is the Word of God, and that the men today would be an encourager and not a condemner today. So, Father, please speak to us through your Word, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. What does it mean to be virtuous? Actually, the Word talks about having valor and strength and ability and some activity. And it's talking about a great company of forces. There's virtue. They're virtuous. A mighty power and riches and strength. And all those words kind of talk about the idea of being virtuous. If you talk about a sword that is made of good steel, it's called, has virtue to it. It's virtuous. So we're talking about a woman who has virtue. She's strong in the Lord. And turn to Proverbs. Just hold your finger here. Just look back at chapter 12 and verse 4. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4 says, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." So we're talking about being a crown for your husband, something that's visible for all to see, that you're a woman of virtue. You're not a shame to your husband, and you're not a huge disappointment to your husband. You are a crown. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, something displayed for everyone to see. So you have to ask yourself, do you want to glorify the Lord or not? Do you want to glorify the Lord or not in your life? So you want to strive to be a crown, and these traits can be like jewels in that crown. Look back at chapter 10, Proverbs 10 and verse 1. It just says the Proverbs of Solomon, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." I just say that because you could be a huge disappointment to your husband. You're not going to be a crown if we find that these traits aren't in our lives. If really the whole point of the message is that the woman would be faithful to the Lord, and that will give her virtue. She'll strive to be a virtuous woman. I want to look at what the Bible says. Now, how do we apply this to our text? The Bible's speaking of a woman, and God says that there is a virtuous woman, though they may be rare. By the expression that's found in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? So they're not just dropping out of the trees, you see. Virtuous women aren't just everywhere you look. But when you find one, you found something of great value and of a great price. Because it says, "For her price is far above rubies." And when I tell you here today, who can find a virtuous woman, maybe it would be best said that it would be a virtuous man. Because a virtuous man would be looking for a virtuous woman. You can go and find any woman out there, but if you're looking for a virtuous woman, it's because you're probably a virtuous man. You're looking for someone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and that our first love is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, these verses of Scripture are for the ladies today, but men, you need to keep your focus that this is the Word of God, and we can learn a lot by this. So, I want to look at these verses. I want to preach on the faithful and virtuous woman. And many of these verses will be very close to each other in their principles. But men also need to listen carefully, as I said, because we're preaching the Word of God here. But ladies, I would like you to make a promise right now in your own heart. Now, you don't have to, but I would love you to make a promise right now in your own heart that if something speaks to you during this message, if God brings something to your mind, into your heart, out of this message, that you'll listen to Him. You'll listen to Him, and you'll follow through with it. And you'll get that trait or that virtue that's not in your life or something that you just need to get right with God. Don't worry about your husband necessarily. What is it in your life that needs to get right with God? If God speaks to you, you just be honest with Him and get it right and follow through with it. That's all I'm asking. So first, in verse 10 through 12, we're going to look at her character. Now, I'm just going to give you a synopsis of each of these verses because we have 21 verses to go through here. But you can write the principle down so you have something to take away with you today. Verse 10 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." First of all, there are virtuous women. And men should be looking amongst saved women and ladies. And girls should wait for God's man. You don't have to go out into the world to find a man. If you're saved here today, you ought to be looking for a saved man. Now, I know sometimes they can be few and far between. But there's no sense taking second best. There's no sense taking something that God says is wrong and starting that unequal yoke. It causes nothing but heartache in the marriage. So look for someone who loves the Lord. And men should be looking for a virtuous woman. She's something to be sought after. She's something to be sought after. She's of great price. Her price is far above rubies. And if you find one, you have something of great value. We know how priceless God's wisdom is. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. we won't be looking at too many different scriptures, but there, a lot of them are just right here in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 15. It says, she, it's talking about wisdom, she is more precious than rubies. See, there's that word again. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. What? Wisdom. Seek after wisdom. She is more precious than rubies. Do you see that? Well, we're looking at a virtuous woman. This says that wisdom is more precious than rubies. How much do we desire the wisdom of God in our life? What great price we should put on God's wisdom? That same sense is in the verse that we're looking at in verse 10. A virtuous woman, her price is far above rubies. Just like God's wisdom for us is far above the price of rubies. It's precious. She is a virtuous woman, a woman of character, and she's in love with her Lord. And it's something that men should treasure, really treasure and thank the Lord for. If you have a virtuous woman, you have a woman in your home, you're married to a woman that loves the Lord and desires to please God first, you ought to be very grateful for that and be very thankful for that, because you have something of great price. That's what the Bible says. Her price is far above rubies. There's nothing like having a virtuous woman as your wife. So the first principle is a virtuous woman is a rare and precious find. It's a rare and precious find. That's your fill-ins there. So take that home with you. Think about that. Would you like to be a rare and precious find for that one that you're going to marry or the one that you're already married to? You're of great value. Verse 11 says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Fill in there is, be trustworthy. Be trustworthy. There's nothing like having a woman that you can trust in. What peace of mind that gives the husband. What a peace of mind to know that she will do him good and not evil. I'm sorry, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. A man can safely put his confidence in this woman, put his full trust in what, in that she'll do what is the right thing and what is the best thing for the home and for her family. There'll be no need for the husband to do anything in a dishonest way to get gain for the home. There's no need of spoil. He's fully trusting in his wife to help guide and provide for the home. His wife won't just waste things in the home. When he brings the earnings home, she takes it and uses it best for her home. She's not just going to waste it. She's going to help him by utilizing the things that God has given the home. She's a blessing to the home. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. The last thing he has to be concerned about is his wife doing the best that she can for the home. He has confidence in her. She's going to help him. She's not squandering or carelessly not making the most from God's blessings upon her home. She's doing the best that she can with what she has. She's an asset to her husband in the home. Maybe she stretches the food bill somehow. It has to be done today. None of us here are rich to the point where we can just squander our money. Not everybody's eating lamb chops every night. Baptist steak, chicken. That's what we like, right? We're looking for sales. Maybe just some ways to save a little bit of money. She's trustworthy. And her husband knows that. And it gives him a peace of mind. This is part of being a virtuous woman. Now, verse 12 says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. You know, a man can rest assured his wife is looking out for him. I like the idea that my wife is looking out for me. She's got my back. You know what I mean? It used to be, if you got in a fight, you say, I got your back. And a lot of times, your friend might get a little bloody in the front, but his back was all right, you know. But I want somebody behind me and helping me, in fact, alongside of me. And a man can rest assured when his wife, he knows his wife is looking out for him. She'll do him good and not evil. When a woman is standing with her husband and encourage him, he can do anything if he knows that his wife is there alongside of him. That's why God gave her to him. She's a companion. She's a helpmeet, suitable for him. She's a benefit to him. Here is a woman who doesn't mix good and evil together and then give her husband just a little bit more good than evil. Because that's not what the verse says. The verse says she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Here's a woman that's just looking to do good for her man, for her husband. That's the focus of the woman, the virtuous woman. The verse says she does him good all the time. At least that's her aim. That's what she's striving for. Again, don't get overwhelmed. I don't know how many women fit all these things, just like any man would fit every virtue and character or trait in the Bible. But this is what we're striving for. And if God says something to your heart today, mark it down. Say, put a little check mark by it. That's something I want to work on. Because this is what God wants from my life. All the days of your life, you want to give your husband good. You treat your husband the way, that way, and I guarantee you, his jaw will drop. He'll be in amazement. You're always trying to do him good. You're always looking out for him. You know what the fill-in is? Just be kind. Be kind. Be kind to your husband. The word there has the idea of favor and grace. Just being good to your husband. Be kind. Be kind to him. This comes from the woman having a fear of the Lord in her heart. You know, she has to fear God first. And she can be kind to her husband. And be good to her husband. The next thing I want to look at is her devotion to her home. In verse 13, her devotion to her home. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. You know, though this was written many thousands of years ago, it's still applicable for us today. This is a woman who goes out and gets the cloth and works to make things for her family and possibly even to sell. That's what she did. That was this woman that the Bible's talking about. Now, none of this, though, was done, whatever way you try to provide for your family, none of this was done at the expense of her family. Whether you have children or you don't have children, the home comes first, her husband came first. She's not forced to do this. Seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's not forced into this. She willingly does this work in the home. Willingly. That's the key word. Here is a woman who isn't afraid to work. Break a nail. You know? Not, oh, the day is ruined. What am I going to do now? Paste it back on, whatever you women do with nails that break. Men just chew it off and spit it out and keep going. But you know what I mean? A woman needs to just say, hey, I can get my hands dirty. I can work. But it's not because the man's over her back telling her this needs to be done, that needs to be done. He comes home and she's been good to him all day. And she's been working willingly with her hands. Wow, that's a virtuous woman. You know, Kathy has cleaned all of her life. She's been a cleaning lady. And, hey, that's a valuable trait that she's willing to work in the home. Men, you can look at your own wives and know how they work in the home. I'm thankful I have a wife that's willing to work with her hands. You know? So the principle is be willing to work. I'm trying to boil this all down to be a simple something you can walk away with and say, am I willing to work in my home? Or is it drudgery? No, I'm just willing to work. Verse 14 says, she's like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She bringeth her food from afar. Sometimes a man might come home and say, where did you get that? You know? Where in the world did you find that? Well, I went into Cork and I went down on Plunkett Street and I went way down here and there was this little shop. But it was something the home needed, maybe. You say, I can't believe it. Where you found that at? You know, they needed that for the home. But she found it. She bringeth her food from afar. Here's a woman who goes the extra mile in the home to get what is best for her family. It's that which is needed, not necessarily that which is most expensive, obviously. It's that which is needed. You cannot be easily dismayed by circumstances. This woman is just plows on through. And whatever has to be done, she does it. She does whatever is necessary. She bringeth her food from afar. She gets it done. That's what they say down south. Get her done. I guess that's what this woman is. She gets it done. All right? So what's the principle? She does what is necessary. That's the fill-in. She does what is necessary. She just goes the extra mile. This has to be done, so I'm gonna do it. I'm not going to wait for somebody else to do it. There's no one else going to do it. So she'll go to great lengths to make sure that her home has the things that she needs, that they need. Verse 15, she rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. I almost was tempted to put as the principle, get out of bed. Get out of bed. You know, a woman can be lazy and a man can be lazy. But a woman has no time to be lazy. There's too much to do. The virtuous woman will not be slothful. Will not be slothful, but use her time to make sure the needs of her house are met. Look at Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24 and verse 30. Proverbs 24:30 says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. So it's not just women, but generally anybody who's slothful. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You know where that comes from? Neglect. It comes from laziness. It comes from being a sloth. A man can do it to his home, and so can a woman. She can cause her home through neglect to turn into a shambles. And the virtuous woman will not be slothful. A faithful woman will get out of bed and get the work done that's needed in the home. Everyone benefits from her diligence. She rises all the while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Everyone benefits by a woman that's willing to be disciplined and do the things that are necessary in the home, and not while away the hours in the bed, turning over and flipping over the other way and hanging in until 10, 11, 12 o'clock. The day is past. Amen. Be careful about sleeping away the hours and the day is spent. Discipline yourselves not to waste time and be lazy. This goes for men too, you know. Everybody. You know where this starts? I wanted to preach out of these verses one time in chapter 24 because I believe that starts in the heart. You begin to move away from God and the thorns and the nettles start growing in your heart. And you get away from God. And one of the things that happens is you're slothful. Your heart becomes broken down and the walls are broken down in your heart. It starts in your heart, ladies. That's where virtue is, in their heart. So discipline yourselves not to waste time, be lazy, or to put it off. Hey, what's the principle? Be disciplined. Be disciplined. Discipline yourself to do the things that are necessary. And you got to get up to do that. Verse 16 says, she considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. Hey, this woman buys some land and from the fruit of her own work plants a vineyard for the needs of a growing household. That's the Proverbs 31 woman. Verse 16, we're back in Proverbs 31 and verse 16. Be reminded, this is a faithful, virtuous woman. It's not for personal gain. She's not doing this for personal gain, but because she's devoted. See, we're talking about her devotion to her home. She's devoted to her home. She's doing it. She's considering this field and buying it for the fruit of her hand. She planted the vineyard. Why? Because of the needs of her home. This woman looks down the road and prepares for the future. Husbands want to make sure that they don't quench this character trait in the woman. If she's doing it for the household, let her go. There may be something that she's trying to do in her house. She can discuss that with you. But don't just quench it and squash it. Think about it. She's trying to do this for a home. That's what this woman did. She considered a field. I could plant a vineyard there. She went and bought it. You're saying, hey, if she wants to buy it, as long as you don't use my money. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. No, I mean, here's a woman that's planning for the future, considering the needs of her home. She's a virtuous woman. So the principle is, you could use either word, be innovative or be resourceful. Maybe put them both down, whatever suits you, whatever you can understand. This woman buys land, and from the fruit of her own work, she plants a vineyard because she's looking down the road at the needs of her family. It may be a business, I don't know, out of the home. But she's doing it not for personal gain. It's for the home. Verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. That means she goes to the gym every day. No. No. And I don't know why that just came out, but it did. You know, I wrote that in my Bible and I thought about that. And it's not wrong to go to the gym, I guess. But when you spend hour upon hour in the gym or the spa and your home is neglected because of that, it's wrong. It's as simple as that. It doesn't matter who you are. If your home is neglected because you want to spend time in the gym to make yourself strong, this is talking about girding her loins. She's strong inside. She girded her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. That just comes from daily labor and chores that she does. This woman wasn't down at the gym pumping iron. You know? She was just working. And she had an inner strength. And she was also strong in her body. She has strong arms. You wash floors and clean the house and pick up babies all day long, you get some muscles. You're strong. A bad back maybe, but strong arms. I think that's what the verse is talking about, just daily chores and labor. And by the way, we need to be careful of the spa and the gym. Sorry, I couldn't keep myself. You know, we need to be careful of the spa and the gym. A woman might go down to the spa or the gym, not only considering the way that she may be dressed, but who else is there? How about the man that goes down to the spa or gym? What is he watching? Did you ever think about that? Has your flesh gotten any better since you got saved? No. That's why I have a twinge in my spirit about the spa and the gym. Well, you do enough at home, I guarantee you, you'll be strong enough. You won't have to go and get on the treadmill. You'll be on a treadmill all day long taking care of your home. You ought to be careful about these spas and gyms. People are seeing things maybe they shouldn't be seeing. I'll get off of that, verse 18. Did I give you the principle? Be as healthy and strong as you can be. Be as healthy and as strong as you can be. Verse 18 says, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. This woman is devoted to her home. And she sees, what she sees, she can provide for the house by some enterprise maybe, something that she's, some business maybe, and is diligent to do the work and will do whatever it takes to accomplish that. So this is not at the expense of the other duties in the home. Because you want to earn some extra money to help in the home, the other duties in the home aren't neglected because of that. It's on top of that. It may take some late nights and less sleep. So she not only takes care of what she has, but doesn't see the extra work that she has to do as drudgery. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, maybe whatever she's making, I don't know. But her candle goeth not out by night. If she has to stay up late to accomplish that, then she does it. She's just diligent. She just does whatever has to be done. The principle is she's just a good steward. Be a good steward of what God has given you. And sometimes you're going to have to stay up late, burn the midnight oil, doing some things maybe to help out in the home and go the extra mile. Again, some of these principles just go together, but we need to be a good steward with what we have. Verse 19 says, she layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She's skillful. That's not the principle, though. But she is skillful. Could be just as well written down next to it. But this woman is not only strong, but she's skilled. She works the spindle and the distaff. You know, they used to hold the raw flax up here on the stick, and down here was a spindle. They would spin it. And as it wrapped around the spindle, it was turning into yarn that they later on would use to make things. That takes some... I can't even do it standing here, let alone with the thread going from here to there. I'd have it all over me. But it takes a little skill. It also takes work and strength. She's spinning thread. It takes a learned skill and diligence to spin wool and flax for making a garment. She's resourceful, and she's ready to work. Some things are tedious, but must be done. Who are you going to leave it for? Who else is going to do it? You have to do it. God will bless you for it. If you put your hand to the distaff and your hands to the spindle and do the work that needs to be done in the home, some ladies are good at sewing. Then be at it. So, do whatever you can to make sure that you're being as resourceful as you can in your home. She's resourceful and ready to work. Some things are tedious, but they have to be done. So the principle is just to be diligent. The principle is just be diligent. Don't be a quitter. Stay at it. Be willing to do whatever it takes to get the job done. It's not only a sense of having the strength to do it, the willpower, but you need a little bit of skill. Maybe you need to learn how to do some things. Pick up a book. It's not like we don't have resources and information at our fingertips. Within 5 seconds, you'll have 1,000 Googled pages that you can look at for how to spin thread, or, you know, you want to sew buttons on, you want to make dresses. I don't know, whatever you want to do, but it's right there at our fingertips. So be diligent. You may not be proficient at all these things, cooking and sewing, but you can learn. You certainly don't want a woman that don't know how to cook. That'll get old after a while. Would you please learn how to make something? All I can make is rice. We be eating rice all the time. So I'm glad my wife can cook. If you can't cook, learn. Learn how to cook. I had to learn how to operate cranes. I wasn't born knowing how to operate cranes. But in order for me to eat, I had to learn how to operate cranes. So you need to learn how to cook. And you need to learn how to sew. It's not passed down like it used to be, these homemaking skills, because we just go out and buy it. The sock's got a hole in it, in the bin, buttons off. Yeah, so put your tie over it. You know, come on. Those skills aren't being passed down anymore. Quilting. How about chickens? When's the last time you had to go out and chop the chicken's head off or wring his neck and then pluck him and then gut him? And no, you go down to the butcher or Dunn's and there it is. Sometimes they might have a few feathers on them, but they're pretty much cleaned up, ready for the skillet, you know. It's gone. So we need to be diligent. Amen? We need to be diligent. Now we're going to skip verse 20 and go right to 21 here for a minute. Verse 21 says, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Now this verse is just saying that this woman is prepared for the future again. She's looked ahead, and maybe she's seen some hoodies or, you know, the things for the winter, and she saw them on sale. She said, I'm going to get them now. That's all it is. It's just preparing for the future. I'm going to get them now. They're on sale. They'll be twice as much in the winter. She's prepared for the future and whatever circumstances she may foresee. Remember, some ladies are home all day And there may be homemakers, and they know what's going on in the home. They are the guide in the home. They're not the head of the home. They're the guide in the home. So the men ought to have an ear when she says, hey, look, you know, we need to buy these things now. You better listen. She says, they're on sale. And you just don't want to spend the money. I'm talking about myself. But really, if I bought them now, it wouldn't cost me twice as much later. So go ahead and spend the money now. But she isn't feeling, she's not fretting. Once she takes care of these things, she's not fretting and worried, but prepared for the future. What she's done, she's done what she could, and now she has to trust in the Lord, you see. Just prepare for the future. And she puts her faith in the Lord. In fact, it says, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She's prepared ahead. And God will honor her faith now. She trusts in the Lord because she's prepared for the future. That's a virtuous woman. That's a woman who has faith. God will honor her faith. So the principle is, be a planner. Be a planner. Think ahead. Don't just look as far as the nose on your face. Try to see down the road. What's my family need? This stuff is really practical, I think. Just basic things that sometimes we don't even think about. And I really believe that the men need to pay attention, and you are. I'm just saying, because I have to look at this and say, this is what God is looking for the virtuous woman when she tries to do these things and gird herself to do these things and strengthen herself. I need to have the right spirit about this so that I can be an encouragement to her. Verse 22 says, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She also keeps herself neatly and smartly dressed. Let me give you the principle. Be modest. Be modest in dress. She maketh herself coverings. Cover yourself. Cover yourself. And not like a potato sack. People say, you know, you hear about that. Oh, you're going to dress modestly so you just look like a potato sack with a belt around the waist. So now, no. That's not what the Bible's talking about. The Word's talking about neatness and order. Now, you shouldn't be a fashion maven either, driven by all the fashions. Fashion in this world passes away, doesn't it? Now, that's totally off focus. But we should dress neatly and orderly, cover ourselves. And I'm not talking about wearing 17th century clothing. I'm talking about dressing up to date, but do it neatly and orderly and cover yourself. Be modest. That's what the Bible says. She is a crown to her husband. Remember, this isn't extravagance, but the fruit of planning, thinking ahead, diligence, work, labor. Ladies, this is what a virtuous woman. This woman is virtuous in her thoughts and intentions, which honor God. And that's exactly the way a woman is to dress, with shamefacedness. I'm going to cover myself. I'm dressing for the Lord, not for my husband, because he can be as carnal as the next man. I'm dressing for the Lord, and I want to bring my face. That's what people should be drawn to, my face. So be modest in dress. That's what honors God. Verse 23 says, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Hey, she's a woman who speaks well of her husband. Now she honors him and lifts him up before his peers. But these aren't just idle words. It's not just flattery. It's encouraging talk about her husband, who her husband is before the people. And on the other hand, she's not tearing him down either. Ladies, don't ever tear your husband down in public. We have egos. That's all I can tell you. And I'll tell you, it will destroy a husband if he isn't lifted up by his wife, among his peers. She isn't tearing him down before his peers. If there's an issue that needs to be dealt with, where do you deal with it? At home. Not in front of the kids. You deal with it at home, and you talk it out. Not in public. Like I said, men have egos, and the wife is the one that can either help or hinder. It's just the way God made us. What we're really looking for our wife is for approval. Am I doing all right? How am I doing? Don't tear them down in front of people. You'll destroy them. I'm not talking about, Kathy could speak well of me amongst my peers. But we're not talking about flattery. We're talking about if it's sincere, then it's okay. It's sincere. It's honest. Talk. It's okay to lift your husband up. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land, where all his peers are, amongst his contemporaries. She speaks well of him. Find some good things to say. And be an encourager to your husband. That's the principle. Be an encourager. Be an encourager. I tell you, you will do your husband a lot of good. He'll walk through walls for you if you just lift him up and encourage him. I'm just telling you, that's the way men are. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. She is a businesswoman who seeks, buys, makes, and sells. I mean, she does it all. If that's what you do, that's fine. None of this is at the expense of her devotion, though, to her family. If it is, stop it. If the family is suffering, if the home is suffering because of a business out of the home or you're working out of the home, stop it. It's not honoring to God. A woman is to be in subjection to her husband. Another thing that can happen outside the home, it can happen. I'm not saying it will, but it can happen, is that when a woman works outside the home, take this for what it's worth, I stand on it though, is that a woman could be under the authority of what? Another man. Her boss. That doesn't have to be bad, but it could be. Because her husband is the head of that home, not the boss. But when she places herself in a business like that, she has another boss to answer to. Well, when that boss doesn't, you know, goes against this boss, that boss loses, the one at the workplace. The husband's still the head of the home. But it's okay. If you're a businesswoman, to seek, buy, make, sell, as long as it's not against the devotion to your home. The home comes first. That's a lot of things have happened like that today, and it's happened in Christianity. The woman's out working, and the home suffers. The kids are in daycare all the time. Sometimes it has to happen. I'm just telling you, that's not what God intended. But our world has just become so turned around, upside down, that it's very hard today to make ends meet sometimes. You could have a home business or stretch the income, but just seek to help out in the home too, monetarily, in whatever way you can, as long as your home doesn't suffer for it. So what's the principle? Be productive. Be productive. Back to verse 20 now. This is her generosity to others. Verse 20 says, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's a generous woman. This woman will generously give to others of the blessings of the Lord in her own life. This is a spiritual blessing also, from a physical concern for others. She's meeting needs in people's lives. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 28. It says, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. You know, do it today, when thou hast it by thee. Do good to others. You ought to write down chapter 14, verses 20 and 21. Chapter 14, verses 20 and 21. I'm not going to turn there. But it's meeting needs in people's lives. She meets needs in people's lives. She helps needy people. We're not talking about beggars. You all been down to Cork and you've seen that lady? When you come out of the Paul Street parking, she's there almost every day on the right-hand side. I've seen this woman with her other friends, and they're fine. I mean, they've got all their wares, and they're going back home again. That's just what they do, is beg. She's not getting a euro from me. Go find something to do. But some people just need help, and we should be willing to do that. We're talking about, we're not talking about beggars who are lazy. Ask God for discernment, and He will give you discernment and wisdom about how to help people who are really needy. I know Kathy wants to feed everybody here. It's like everybody, one way or the other, has been asked to come over so she can feed you. And she also has developed a sense of wanting to feed people spiritually now. She's learning. And she'll tell you herself, she's been in the Bible more than she ever has. And she's trying to be a help to maybe some teens and others. It used to be an extreme struggle for her, but now she's becoming easier for her to reach out with some biblical wisdom for people. And she's helping. She wants to help. And I'll tell you, there is a story about her. I'm going to let her tell you. If you want to know, you go ask her about Kathy and Rosie. All right? You ask her what happened with Kathy and Rosie, 11 o'clock one night. All right? And that's a woman who I believe wants to reach out to people. I'm thankful for that virtue in my wife. So the principle is be compassionate and generous. Be compassionate and generous. Verse 26. Her effectiveness as a teacher now. Verse 26 says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Her effectiveness as a teacher. Here the faithful or the virtuous woman has Bible knowledge. A woman needs to have Bible knowledge. A woman should be reading her Bible. A woman should know her Bible. When she speaks from the wisdom of God. When she directs her household, she directs it from the wisdom of God. She's the guide in the home. Maybe it's advice or counsel to someone else, but it's biblical advice and counsel. She uses the scriptures to help people and to guide her home and her children. It's a virtuous woman. That's what it says. She opened her mouth with wisdom. Now, who has wisdom but God? Only God has wisdom. So she has the wisdom of God. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. It's not said hard and nasty. It's said with kindness. It's said with love, not anger. When she speaks with grace. And she speaks with kindness. But she speaks the truth, biblical wisdom. When she speaks with biblical help. The principle is she has wisdom. She has wisdom. Now ask yourself, do I have wisdom? Am I striving for more Bible knowledge? And then wisdom is Bible knowledge applied to your life. That's wisdom. Anybody can have Bible knowledge. The devil has that. But to apply it to your life, that's wisdom. Wisdom is the application of biblical knowledge to your life. Next, we're going to look at her influence as a wife and a mother. Verse 25. We're going to be winding it up now. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Her influence as a wife and a mother. The virtuous woman wears her strength like a garment. All can see outwardly her inner strength, who she is. We aren't seeing pride, but her spirit is just shining through the inner man. This is an honorable woman, poised and able to rejoice because of her decisions that she's made. And she shall rejoice in time to come. That means she'll have joy in the time to come because of what she has. Her strength and honor are her clothing. She's reaping what she has sown. And now she can rejoice. This is an honorable woman. Her virtue is worn as if it were a cloak over her. It naturally shows itself. Her character is seen and will be exemplified in her family. She makes a difference. She influences her children and her home for good. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice. They're visible virtues. People just see this in the person. She's not outwardly trying to show it. It's just in her and it comes out. What's the principle? Be dignified. Be dignified. Poise. Self-respect. Whatever other words, but be dignified. Verse 27 says, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. All right? She takes note of what is going on in her home. All right? She looketh well to the ways of her household. She is aware of each and every family member's needs by diligent inspection. She's looking. What does that person need? How are the boys doing? What can I do for them? How can I keep this home moving in the right direction? This woman is not lazy. says she eateth not the bread of idleness. She doesn't just sit around doing her nails. Come on. She's busy. She's got a house to guide, a house to run. She doesn't have time to spend hours and hour after hour just idle and not attending to the needs of her home. The demands of managing a household are great. That's why men go out and work. They couldn't do it. I wouldn't want to stay home with the kids and cook the meals and clean the house. I'd rather be out. But a woman, God has made her to be caring and nurturing. He's also given her a good mind. And they are very strong. Women have strength. And they need to use it in the home. They're guiding the home. Well, the demands of managing a household are great. There's no time for laying around. There's no time for it. Leisure should be the exception, not the norm. Performing the tasks of a wife and mother are first. And this is foreign today in society. And that's what Christians have their eyes on. We don't look to the world for our standards. We look to the Scriptures. That's why some of you may be sitting here going, what are you talking about? Well, I'll tell you what I'm talking about. You're reading the Bible just like I am. Hey, hey, be thankful the men are next week. Amen? They're next. We're next. Wow, that's going to be a tough one. But you know what? This is foreign to society. But it's not foreign to the Christian, virtuous, faithful woman. At least it shouldn't be. Verse 28. So the principle is, I'm sorry, she manages her home and is not lazy. Manages her home and is not lazy is the fill-in, both fill-ins. Manages her home and is not lazy. Verse 28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. The virtuous woman will see her family, will see in her family the confirmation of all these blessings of God in her life. The family members make known to her and all around her that she is a faithful mother and a wife. In fact, her husband will boast about her and praise her from a grateful heart. Choose a virtuous woman, men. Fellas, find a virtuous woman. I found a virtuous woman, and I am thankful for it. She will do me good all the days of her life. You may have one, and you need to find one. That's what you need to look for, or you'll have a miserable life. Find a saved, virtuous woman. In fact, her husband will boast about her, and that's what I'm doing a little bit, and praise her from a grateful heart. Ladies, just do the will of God. Just do the will of God. He will bless your home. He will bless your home. The principle is that she's praiseworthy. She's blessed. She's praiseworthy. Hey, if a woman, give honor to whom honor is due. If she's done something good, praise her. In fact, people just, they look at someone and say, wow, you're just doing a great job. You're just a wonderful mother. You're a wonderful wife. The children and the husband will praise her. Verse 29 says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Now, who else could be saying this but the husband? Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. And that's what the husband should say about his wife. Thou excellest them all. Right? She works hard and long. She's diligent and it's paid off. Others are about the business of being faithful to the Lord, but she has risen above all of them. In my eyes, this should be the testimony of men in this room toward their wives. You know, we used to get the milk delivered to the door, even when I was a little boy, living back in Philadelphia. The milk would be delivered to the door, and at the top, when you peeled off the little aluminum covering, the little seal there, was about an inch of cream. Cream rose to the top, doesn't it? And the cream always rises to the top. And there's many virtuous women, but thou excellest them all. She's the cream. She's risen to the top. And every man in here should be able to say that about his wife. So, this should be the testimony. She has a reputation for being a woman of character and virtue. So the principle is, she is virtuous. She's virtuous. Two more. This is her excellence as a person. Verse 30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Just about every time I send something or we send a card out to a young girl, we put that verse in there because I think it wraps it all up. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. It's really the focus of the woman. You want to be popular or do you want to fear God and care about what He thinks? Her focus is not on the outward but the inward. That comes about by a healthy fear of the Lord. You know, the outward manner of her favor and her grace towards people. That can be a lie. That can be deceit. The outward. Unless it's moved by the inward. If there's no love or no fear of God, it's just outward. It's just a put on. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. Beauty is also vain. It's empty. It's here today and gone tomorrow. It won't last forever. There used to be a saying that says, charm may get him, but it will not keep him. You can charm somebody, but you're not going to keep them with that. There's other charmers out there. Neither favor nor beauty is wrong unless they are the goal at the expense of the inward man. 1 Peter chapter 3, I'm just going to read these to you. 1 Peter 3, if you want to turn there, you might want to, if I didn't put them down on the paper, write them down. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Is that not what we just read in Proverbs 31:30? It's talking about purity of life, fear of God. Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, you see, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Her price is far above rubies. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. So there it is. The principle is, she fears the Lord. She fears the Lord. Focus on your walk with God and a clean life before the Lord. Because favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. There's nothing matter with a woman looking good and being attractive to her husband. But not at the expense of her heart. Verse 31 finally says, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. And they will. Finally, the faithful, virtuous woman will reap the rewards of an honest, diligent service in her home and family. Her manner of life and her behavior becomes a woman who wants to honor the Lord. She will be praised publicly, openly, what she has sown in private. Just like the man who prays in his closet, or anybody who prays in the closet, God rewards them how? Openly, publicly. Yeah. Her willingness to do the best she is able to do for her family will be seen in her children and a thankful husband. Let it be known by every woman here, particularly every wife and especially every mother. Let them learn from this example. Men, you need to help nurture these traits in your wife. Help them guide their family, help them guide the family and help them to raise the children. The principle here is she has an honorable testimony. She has an honorable testimony. This is for our homes. And man, it doesn't need to be an argument when you leave here. I just want to be practical. This shouldn't turn into some condemning spirit on the part of men thinking about your wife, how she measures up. It's for the ladies to take a good inspection of their own hearts before God. Talk it out, but don't let it be a point of argument. Let it be a part of encouragement. The last thing you want to do is judge with a condemning spirit. No one can say they're proficient in all these areas. You would do better to help your wife do the best that she can. But ladies, you have to take an honest look at yourself. I've tried to just open the Bible truths to you here and show you what the Bible says as best I can. You may have a different take on some of them, but basically we've looked at the virtuous woman, a faithful woman. And you need now to make a decision. Is that what you want to be? Do you want to be a virtuous woman? Do you want to be a faithful woman? Let's pray. Your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Wives, mothers, teens, young ladies, if God has spoken to your heart in some area, I want you to do business with God, but I'd love to pray for you. Maybe just raise your hand and just let me know God's spoken to you in some area of your life. I see those hands. Amen. Men, maybe God has shown you something from this. Maybe you realize how important your wife is in the home to you. Possibly your wife is doing these things and you just need to do some encouraging and stop tearing down. And teens, let me tell you, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, you need to watch mom and strive for these characteristics in your own life. No matter how your home life is, I'll tell you this, God has spelled it out for you in the Bible. You need to pay attention to it and you need to strive for that. But there may be someone here who isn't sure where they're going to spend eternity. Look, does God know you? Are you just living a good life? Do you have a head knowledge or do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Maybe you'd say today, I am just not sure, Dan. I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. I think I know, but I'm not really sure. Would you pray for me? If you just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. I'll pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the message in the Scriptures here, Lord. And Father, though it wasn't easy at times putting it together, Father, I believe you're going to bless because it's your word. It will not come back void. I pray, Father, that some seeds have been sown, that the Holy Spirit might work this in the wives and the moms here and just the teens also, Lord. And Father, that there be a virtue that they desire in their own life, that they would strive to be this kind of a woman. Lord, not for any other reason, but first because they fear you. And they want to please you. They want to honor you. And I just know, Lord, if one woman was to do this, how her home would change, the differences you could make. Father, please bless this preaching and bless this just the truths that have been shared here today. And I pray, Father, that you would use it in each and every woman's life. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.